morning to each of you. So glad you are here as we gather to worship. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we gather here in this room and at this time to listen to you. I ask that you would help me to get out of the way and that you would come and speak through your word. Cause your word to come alive inside of each one of us. Enable us to hear your voice and respond to you. We thank you for the miracle of your word. We ask that you would enable us to not just receive your word, but be ones who can then share your word. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, today is the second Sunday after Easter, and there's a passage that we looked at on Easter, and again last Sunday, that I want us to be able to look at again, and try to discern a little bit more as to what Jesus was trying to tell us there. But before I do and emphasize that message, let's look at a passage from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll see that there is a common theme that the Lord Jesus Christ is communicating to us this morning. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 55, starting at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And then for our epistle reading, I've actually changed it from what's in the bulletin. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now looking at our gospel reading, and this again we've looked at for the last 2 weeks, from John chapter 20, John's account of the resurrection, and this is later in the day, evening, on the first day of the week, John 20, 21 and 20, or through 23. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. As we consider what those disciples heard on that Easter evening, of course, they received the message of peace as Jesus entered the room and said shalom to you. And they came to understand that indeed peace with God had been accomplished through Christ's death and his victory secured through his resurrection. That their lives were forever changed as they were brought into a faith relationship with the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That peace changed their outlook. They were hiding in an upper room, and after that, sent out to be the ambassadors of Christ, the messengers of Christ. He sent them with this message in John's gospel. It was Some different words were recorded for Matthew or for Luke, but in John, he records the simple words, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I wonder if they caught it. Maybe that's why it's not recorded in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. Maybe it took years of mulling it over before John would write it down as the last of the Gospels to be written. The words, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now that was heard by those first disciples. And now John records it for every subsequent generation of disciples to read and hopefully to hear. Not just from someone reading it to you from a pulpit, but hear it from the very Spirit of God. As you hear it, as you read it, recognize that it is spoken to each and every one of us. Jesus, the resurrected Lord, says to each and every one of his children, every one of his followers, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." You are a sent one. You are commissioned by Christ to be sent. And then the question that should be on each and every one of our hearts after hearing that is to say, well, what does that mean? How do I go about being a sent one? How was Christ sent? If we turn to the beginning of John's Gospel, we see this statement in John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." John uses the analogy, the word play of calling Christ the Word. In Greek, that word that he uses, the word logos, we get a number of our English words from that root, but Jesus is the Word. An interesting thing happens, though, if you look at the Latin word. The Latin word in that same spot, the word for word in Latin, is the word sermo, from which we get a word that relates to what we're doing right now. The word sermo could just as easily be inserted into this verse. Listen to it with that word in its place. "And the sermon became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So what's the point in this? I almost started wandering away, and then I realized I got to stay put. Jesus refers to himself, and the gospel refers to Jesus as the Word of God, or we could say the sermon of God, the message of God, the articulation of all that God is and all of God's truth coming now and being spoken out through the lips of the incarnate Christ to those first followers who recorded it then so that now it can be read and spoken and heard as a fresh message from God. The Logos of God, the Word of God, the Sermon of God comes alive. And so each and every one of us, not just guys who stand up and wear green suits that they got from a parishioner last week, but every person in the room and every person listening is called to be a transmitter of the Word of Christ. So if Easter is 2 weeks away and we want to continue to be living out the reality of Easter, I think one of the key ways we do that, each and every one of us, is that we are word speakers. We are word sharers. We are word transmitters. Just like some of the radio stations around here get a signal sent from somewhere else, and then it's resent from those transmitters' locations, so it's boosted and sent out to a fresh set of hearers in that circle around that transmitting tower. So we are to be recipients of the Word of God who resend it through our lips to the audience near us. See, Jesus was a word speaker.
Jesus came to speak the word of God. And it, maybe we ought to recognize it as his greatest miracle. Oftentimes we think of his raising the dead, his calming the sea, his multiplying loaves and fishes, opening eyes or unstopping mouths, allowing the miraculous to take place in the physical realm. But even greater than those are his sermons, are his words, are his messages, as he spoke forth the word of God so that people could hear it, receive it, believe it, be changed from the inside out, as the Spirit activated those words that were heard. Jesus was a preacher, a word sharer, and as Jesus was sent by the Father, he now sends you. He now sends you to be a word speaker, a word sharer, a word transmitter. If we're going to think about how we might do that, we might look to another beginning stage of Jesus' ministry. If we turn to Luke's gospel, he records the event where the Lord Jesus Christ traveled to his hometown. Luke chapter 4. Starting to read at verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And this is actually Isaiah chapter 61 in our Bibles. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, and he used that scripture to announce his ministry, to clarify his role, to let people know what it was he was coming to do. And if Jesus is sending us, just like the Father sent him, then we too can glean insight from this passage that Jesus read to us and announced to us. Look at it in a little more detail with me. Notice, first of all, the source or the power of Jesus' preaching. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." Those two words seem to be redundant. They're saying the same thing twice. I think in order to emphasize the truth that Jesus is under a double anointing, a double ministry of the work of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God empowering the human body of Christ to fulfill his calling to be the proclaimer of, the speaker of, the Word of God, the truth of God, the saving message of God. Jesus' source is the very Spirit of God. And that same thing is true for you and for me. If we're going to be speakers of the Word of God, we're not going to do it in human strength. We're not going to do it in our own energy. We're not going to do it out of our intense and immense mental ability. We're going to do it by the empowerment and guidance of the Spirit. So we ask for the Spirit's anointing. Secondly, we notice the focus of his preaching. He says, "I have been sent to proclaim," to proclaim the good news. That word in the Greek is the word from which we get the word evangelize, evangelism. Evangelical is attached to that. We are people who are attached to the message, the good news of Christ. So Jesus came preaching, proclaiming, speaking out the good news. As we become word sharers, we're going to be people who share the word, the good news word, the gospel, the truth that God did go to the cross and did pay the price for our sins, that did rip open the gateway out of death and out of hell and into God's forever presence. That's the gospel message that we, like Jesus, are called to proclaim, the evangelium. Third, notice the apostleship of Christ. Jesus says, he was sent. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Here he says that he was sent to proclaim. That word sent is the word from which we get the word apostle, apostello. Jesus is saying, I was sent out by the Father. And he called his followers, after they had been first called disciples, when he then commissioned them and told them to go out, he changed their title to apostles from the word sent out ones. Every follower of Jesus Christ, every disciple of Jesus Christ has a new title. It's an apostle, a sent one, one called by God to go out with that good news message. Every follower of Christ is both an apostle and an evangelical and a spirit-empowered one. Fourth, we notice the audience. He says he was sent to the poor, to the captive, to the blind, to the oppressed, to the needy. That's who Jesus came to minister to. He said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus recognized he was sent by the Father to minister to those who are in need. The reality is that everyone is in need. The reality is that all are lost and are destined to eternal separation except for receiving this message of the good news. But the wordplay is that Jesus says, I'm only sent to the sick, not the healthy. And there's too many people that think they're healthy when in reality they're very soul sick. And in need of the good news, in need of a sent one, in need of the message, in need of the spirit-empowered word to come. Jesus says his audience is the needy, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. And you and I are called to those same audiences. I was talking with a fellow pastor this past week, and he was talking about a calling, a time when he was sent to a town he really did not want to go to. And for the people that live there, I won't mention the town. But he did not want to go. But as he prayed it over, he finally realized, I'm being sent by God to this town because God wants to raise up preachers through me, word sharers through me. So he went in obedience to the call, and God worked some powerful ministry there. And there was revival that took place. There were some crusades that came through the Lundstrom. Yeah, there was some joint ministry that was done, and a campaign was held there, and there was lots of response. This pastor kept watching, where are the pastors that are going to be raised up under me? God told me he was going to do that. So he kept looking and kept ministering, and he told me last week, he says, you know what I ended up with? Two drug addicts and a child molester who went on to share the gospel with hundreds of people over the next 40 years. He says, we couldn't count how many. They were the ones that God sent me there to reach. Their lives were radically transformed, and they became the most outspoken ambassadors for Christ in that region and beyond as God furthered their ministry and their reach. It wasn't the wise, it wasn't the educated, it wasn't the ones that the society esteemed, it was the marginalized that God called and used to proclaim his message, just like the disciples, who are a ragtag group that, when they were empowered by the Spirit, proclaimed the message of Christ and changed the world. You and I are called to minister to the poor, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed. And notice what he says about the activation of his ministry and the impact of his ministry. He says, to give liberty and to give the recovery of sight and to set at liberty. Those phrases are spoken to recognize and to affirm that there's going to be fruit that comes. There's going to be people transformed. There's going to be lives changed. As the word is proclaimed, the word will accomplish that for which God sent it. And lives will be forever changed, communities changed, families changed, as the gospel impacts hearts. So what are we saying? We're saying that Christ appeared on Easter, said to his followers, not just peace, not just you have a different relationship now with me that brings you into eternal salvation, but also, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm commissioning you to be my sent ones. So you'll go do what I have been doing. You'll become speakers of the word of God. Some maybe will stand in front of a congregation and proclaim the word. All of us will be in conversations with one another, with a small group, with our family, with our children, and proclaim the word. In 1 Corinthians, it says, we preach Christ. It doesn't say we preach about Christ. We preach Christ. That's the scripture in the bulletin, the epistle reading. We preach Christ. Now, I repeat that because I want you to leave here empowered by God to be people who preach Christ, not talk about Christ. I'm drawing that distinction because I think it's possible to turn on the radio, turn on the internet, listen to a sermon all across this planet today, where people are talking about Christ. And I have been guilty of doing that myself. And you have been guilty of that yourselves, talking about Christ. But let me encourage you that something supernatural happens when we change our mindset and move from being people who just give information to be people who give Christ himself. As Jesus came from heaven to earth and took on flesh and became a human being who had human lips, who spoke forth the truth of heaven, so now you and I are people on this planet filled with the Spirit of God, supernaturally changed into spiritual beings who have God living inside of us. So as we now open up our physical lips, we can proclaim the word of Christ. We can introduce people to Jesus. We can embody the gospel. We can proclaim not just information, but bring people into an encounter with Jesus. That's not saying we are Jesus, but we are carriers of the Spirit of Jesus. And as we assume our role, live out our role, we become ones who introduce others to Christ. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It will accomplish what Christ intends for it to accomplish. And you become the vessels through which the word of God is proclaimed. If you're carrying something that precious, you want to carry it carefully. I believe God's going to create for you opportunities this week. Opportunities to hear from God as you read his word and the Spirit illuminates it to you. You receive that word from God and then you go into your day. You talk to your children, you talk to your neighbors, you talk to your coworkers, you meet someone at the store or at the restaurant. And in that setting, God creates an opportunity. God creates a door. God creates a pregnant moment where just like Mary carried Jesus in her womb, you can now carry Jesus into that situation. And as you begin to speak the word of God, Jesus meets the hearers. The Spirit of God activates the word of God so that there's an encounter with the very Son of God. Salvation comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Divine assignments this week for you. Divine opportunities for you to speak the word of God. So I encourage you, get ready. Spend time reading the word, asking the Holy Spirit to activate your ability to hear and receive and then to carry it and then to retransmit it. You become sent ones. Just as the Father sent the Son, so now the Son sends you. And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." In other words, you, being an agent of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, to do the will of God, to bring salvation, forgiveness to the hearers of God's word given through you. Will you receive this calling? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are in awe of your willingness to pour your grace upon people like us. We're in awe of the fact that you would leave heaven and come to earth for us, that you would go to the cross and suffer and die for us. And we are so thankful that you rose victorious and were resurrected for us. And we are just in awe of the fact that you would then say to your followers, as you were sent by the Father, we are now sent by you. Lord, we can't do this in our own strength, we realize. But you've said to receive the Spirit. And so, by faith in you and in obedience to you, we say yes. We say, breathe on us. We say, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with yourself. And then fill us with your word, your supernatural communication, the truth of God sent through divine lips to be recorded under the inspiration of the Spirit and then preserved for us so that we can now hear it and receive it. We can read it. Enable us, Lord, to take your word to the people around us. Enable us to speak your word, to share a Bible verse that we read that morning, to give fresh manna to hungry people. Lord, as we would you do what you alone can do? Would you forgive sins? Would you change lives? Would you set people free? You ever pray and then pause? You ever pray and then pause and just say, "Did you hear that, God?" I didn't say it out loud, but I was kind of thinking it right then. And here's what I sensed. It wasn't an audible voice. It didn't boom and cause the airwaves to vibrate. It didn't hit my ear, but it hit my spirit. As I was concluding my prayer for you and asking God to use you, this is what I heard. I'm going to do it. If you're bold enough to ask for it as a congregation, I'm going to do it. So get ready this week to be used by God to share the word of God and see God change lives. Amen.